Pleased now to be joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance is brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens from Design to Installation. They got you covered. You can view their portfolio at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. I want to ask you about a tight end that seems to be climbing the ratings out there. It's Ethan Davis out of Suwanee, Georgia. I've seen where he's upped his stock is at the tight end position. He's also a nice basketball player. What are your thoughts on Ethan Davis?
Well, I think Tennessee better recruit him like he's not committed, because everybody is going to come hard and is coming hard after Ethan. And Tennessee's had him on campus already once this year for a spring day or a junior day. Expect that they'll have him back up this weekend for their junior day as well. And he feels Tennessee, loves Tennessee. Everything seems great, but Tennessee will face plenty of challengers, because there's going to be a lot of schools, particularly around the South, who try to get in and try to at least get him to visit to see if they can change his mind or sway his opinion in any way.
So Tennessee lost a little over a week ago wide receivers coach Cody Burns. Is Tennessee any closer to filling that position, Brent?
You know, Jimmy, that's a great question. I've felt all week long that Tennessee would have someone in place by junior day, by Saturday. I'm not looking real great on my prediction right now, because it is Thursday afternoon and nothing seems to be done. So we'll see. Kerry Dixon from Georgia Tech seems to be certainly one of the top candidates, finalists, if you will, or someone near the top of that list for sure. And then I think the other candidate is Kelsey Pope in-house, who's an offensive analyst that I did not think would be a candidate, honestly. But the more you talk to people, I think the more comfortable Josh Heupel is and Alex Goldish is with Kelsey Pope and how much they think he's a rising star. So those kind of seem like the top two guys right now. If it's going to extend past those two guys, Jimmy, then I don't know that they're going to have anybody in place by this weekend's junior day, which is a little bit surprising to me, because I thought they would have someone, and they may still have someone in place by the time they get to Saturday and a bunch of prospects are in town.
If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Brent Hubbs joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Let's go to the phones, where Steve is our first caller. Steve, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Steve.
Hey. Brent, name me of the recruits that we signed in this past class. Five kids in the bunch that you think in two or three years have a chance to really help Tennessee be a better team.
Well, Steve, if there's not more than five, then it's a bad class, because Tennessee needs a lot more help than just five guys from last year's class. But
right.
I think certainly you start at the receiver position, you know, with Caleb Webb, Justin Williams at running back, the two defensive tackles that they signed in West and Jordan Phillips. And then I think Elijah Herring can help them at linebacker. And then I think those two rush ends are guys that I'm very anxious to see, and Joshua Joseph, certainly, and James Pierce from Charlotte, North Carolina. That's not all those guys, Steve, but there's a handful of guys that I think everybody is really interested in seeing where they are. Some of those guys need to help sooner rather than later. And some guys can help a little bit further down the road. But, I mean, they need Addison Nichols to be a football player for them. Mm-hmm. They actually probably need him into two deep for this fall, but they need Addison Nichols in his second year to be pushing for a potential starting job on the offensive line. So they need help from a lot of guys in this class. They need to add to this class with some transfers here at the end of the spring semester. And then obviously they've got to have a really nice year recruiting this year as well. As exciting as last year was, and it was, because they scored a lot of points and they were, seemingly in every game for a while, at least. I mean, that Alabama game in early the fourth quarter, they're in that game. They moved the ball against Georgia. They are far from arrived. So they need to continue to stack some highly successful classes to get this roster where it needs to be to try to creep up and compete against the upper tier in the SEC. I'm not trying to be negative Nancy. I don't know that Tennessee's ready to go from 7 wins to 10 or 11 wins in year 2, because I just don't think the roster is still where it needs to be right now.
Right. Well, listen, I got to ask, how did the wrestling go?
Thanks for asking, Steve. My son had a great season and a great run. He lost in the finals on Saturday and finished second in the state in his weight class.
Okay. Great job. Well, ever since we talked last week, I've thought every day, pictured him without knowing what he looks like. Pictured him out
there. He doesn't look anything like me.
Pictured him out there arresting somebody. And I thought to myself that you seemed pretty confident in his ability last week when we talked. And when I heard you today, before I got to you, I thought to myself, he didn't win at all. But I know you're proud of your son. And
oh, absolutely. He had a great year. Yeah, okay. I am. He had a really good year. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. He had a really good year and had 2 overtime wins to get himself to the finals. And the guy in the finals, Rob Atwood from Trousdale County, was a medalist as a freshman and was a really good wrestler. And he took it in the title match, but certainly a heck of a run for my son. He took his mom and I on a really good ride this winter, that's for sure.
Brent, Tennessee offered the nephew of C.J. Fleming. Tell us about Cameron Fleming.
That's the guy that, you know, is going to be on a lot of people's radars, got a lot of offers. There is a tie there with C.J. Fleming. Now, C.J. Fleming's career at Tennessee was not what a lot of people anticipated or what C.J. anticipated it would be in terms of how big of a star that he was. But he knows a good bit about Tennessee and the history of Tennessee because of his uncle. Obviously, everybody here is very different. So to be in that race, Tennessee's got to get him on campus, and we'll see if they can do that. But a talented athlete who's going to be a safety at the next level, I think. And Tennessee's, you know, it's another guy Tennessee's offered early. And right now it's about, you know, the dead period's over. Right now it's about getting guys to campus. Get as many guys to campus as you can get for junior days, for unofficial visits to watch a spring practice. Get them back for a camp, get them back for a private workout this summer. This is the time of the year now. You got to get people here, and that's the challenge and what everybody's, you know, everybody around the country is trying to do. And what Tennessee hopes to do on Saturday is to get a really nice number of guys in town, starting in state, and see where they can go in terms of relationship building. I don't know that anybody's on commitment watch this weekend or anything like that, but I do expect Tennessee to have a really nice group of guys in this weekend.
You just mentioned it, a nice group, and I know there's a lot of kids that will be on campus, but are there a couple that you could identify for our listeners that, you know, maybe are either the most important, highest rated, or that you think could potentially really be influenced by a quality weekend in Knoxville at the camp?
Well, I think in state it's important to continue to try to work and build in state because, you know, there's repair work that has to be done. And sometimes the closer they are to your campus, the harder they are to recruit in a lot of ways. So I think getting Nathan Robinson from Greenbrier High School on campus, big body guy who might end up being an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle. He's a guy who's played outside linebacker, middle linebacker in high school, but I mean, he's a 265, 70-pound kid. He'll be in town this weekend. I think that one's important. Christian Conyers is a kid from just across the state line in Bowling Green, Kentucky, who's an athlete that ultimately may end up a defensive back when it's all said and done. I think Kentucky will be the dogfight there. Getting him on campus is a big deal. The Spillman brothers are supposed to be in, Edwin and Nathan, so we'll see where that one goes. They got a linebacker from Georgia named Sammy Brown who's coming up, who's got some family ties to Upper East Tennessee. He's a really good player. Georgia's all over him. He's going to have a bunch of offers through the SEC. That one will be hard. But he was here this past year for a summer camp and is coming back up here. So, obviously, the staff has made a pretty good impression. Caleb Herring is you know, the brother of Elijah Herring, getting him on campus. I think Tennessee's in great shape there. but you want him as much as you can, getting here this weekend. Ethan Davis, we mentioned. Justin Brown's a wide receiver from the mid-state that I think is really important as well. And then, of course, they've got the five-star quarterback from California. Nico and his entire family are supposed to be in town for 3 or 4 days, not just for a Saturday visit. So it's a huge visit weekend for them as well.
That's Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they've got you covered. If you want to join us, 865-656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. And Brent joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hot. Our guest, Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. Brent, I want to get your take on this, the incredible reaction of the Tennessee fan base toward Zakai Ziegler. His mom's and family house apartment burns down in Queens. And the GoFundMe page, the last time we looked, was at over $350,000. I want to get your reaction to the support the fans are showing Zakai Ziegler.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's the beauty of Tennessee fans, and that's who Tennessee fans are. Yes, they can be fanatical. Yes, they can get into Twitter wars with national media people, and they can this, that, and the other, and they can boo and do things that maybe make some people uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, they love the student athletes that they pull for. And Zakai Ziegler is as popular as any student athlete is on Tennessee's campus. And he's captured everybody's hearts this fall and this winter with the way that he's played. His story's been well documented, the journey to get here, his journey in basketball, the sacrifices he and his mom had made, the challenges that they've had. So I'm not surprised. And I'll say this too. I think we've also, because his story has been told nationally on television broadcasts, I think other fan bases know him. And I've seen some stuff on Twitter that other fan bases have been making donations as well. And, in the world where we live in, where everything seems dark and negative and everybody's fighting with everybody and nobody seems to be able to listen and have civil conversations about things, there are moments where you realize there's a whole lot of good out there and a lot of people doing a lot of good and a lot of people have done some nice things here for Zakai Ziegler and hopefully his mom and her nephew that she's raising, they can get settled and get back on their feet and everybody can continue to enjoy Sakai's play and what he means to the University of Tennessee and the basketball program.
Do you think that recruits in a variety of sports take notice of this?
Sure. I mean, because it's going to be documented, Jimmy. I mean, it's going to be talked about if you're paying any attention to, there'll be national stories written every time Tennessee plays on TV. Every broadcaster is going to talk about it. It'll certainly be one of the early storylines on Saturday when Tennessee takes on Arkansas. The moment Zakai Ziegler checks into the game, it will be noted. I do think people, and I think recruits, and I think, is it a recruiting advantage? Is Tennessee going to get somebody because of that? I don't know about that, but when you talk about the passion of the fan base and the loyalty to the student athlete by the fan base, there's absolutely an unbelievable example of that and what this fan base has done in a very short period of time for Zakai and his family.
I want to get your take on Tennessee's win against Auburn. It was an electric atmosphere. Tennessee finally beats Bruce Pearl. He'd won 6 in a row against the Vols. Your takeaways from Tennessee's win against Auburn at Thompson Bowling Arena last Saturday?
Well, defense wins. Tennessee wasn't great offensively, but defense and rebounding wins. There's a lady who's no longer with us that I think had 7 national championships that always said, if you can play defense and you can rebound, you've got a chance to win the game. And Pat Summitt was absolutely right. And it's something Kelly Harper talks about. It's something Rick Barnes has talked about from the moment he got on campus and talked about it in his preseason press conference this year, that you're going to have to play great defense and rebound the ball. And Tennessee won a game where they didn't shoot it great because they were terrific on the boards and they play great defense, slowing down that Auburn team. I think if you're an Auburn fan, there is a concern, Jimmy, about the rebounding on that team. Tennessee handled them on the boards in Mississippi State last night. Even though they lost that game in overtime, I didn't think Ben Hallen managed the last 2 minutes of that game very well. But I mean, they were – Auburn was once again manhandled on the boards. I think Mississippi State had 20 offensive rebounds last night or something to that effect. If Auburn's going to make a run in March, they're going to have to rebound the ball better than what they've done the last couple of weeks. And I don't know what's going on with them on the glass. But they are going to have to get back to boxing some people out and winning on the boards. But great atmosphere for Tennessee. Should be a great atmosphere on Saturday. We're learning each and every week, every day, how hard it is to win on the road around the country. And it should be a rough place for Arkansas to come in and try to win on Saturday. But that was a big win for Tennessee. Again, a win where you didn't shoot a ridiculous percentage, Jimmy. You just found a way to kind of grind out and win a basketball game when you weren't at your best. And I think that's important as you move through the rest of the season into postseason play.
So, Brian, you mentioned the truth, how hard it is to win on the road. And all these top teams are so good on their home floor. So, the question is, get in the postseason, it's all neutral site. You're never on your home court, but you could say that about a lot of people. Why do you think there's that big a discrepancy between home court and away from your home in basketball this year?
I think it's a wonderful question. I think it's a terrific question, and one I don't know the answer to. One of the things I wondered in our mailbag podcast this morning with Rob is, are players having a hard time? Have they had a hard time adjusting to the noise level and just a rocking crowd in terms of communicating and everything else? And I say that because, you know, they played a year of basketball where there was very limited crowds, and the crowds that were there had to have masks on, and it was really quiet. Now, it's really quiet in Stegman Coliseum right now because Georgia's not very good. It's really quiet at Missouri, you know, because they're not very good. But at a lot of other places, it's a lot louder than it was a year ago. And I wonder if that's, in any way, shape, or form, created a greater home court advantage because there's a noise factor that you're not as comfortable with because you hadn't played in that type of environment for a year. I don't know the answer to that. What we do know is if you go back and look during the COVID-restricted year in sports, road teams won a lot more games, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football. I don't know the exact numbers in college basketball, but I think you had more road team wins. It was harder to win this year in the NFL on the road. It was harder to win in college football on the road. And I think it's obviously been much more difficult to win in college basketball on the road. I don't know if that's a reason, but maybe it is. That's the only thing different from a year ago. And it's hard. I mean, it is really, really hard. Not just in the SEC, but it is hard all around the country to find a way to win basketball games on the road.
Yeah, and I guess those neutral site games are different because they're not the everybody against you type of atmosphere. They're more kind of a split. So then it's kind of hard to know what you're going to get in those settings from teams, right?
Yeah, and look, you're going to go into, I mean, the SEC tournament on the men's side is going to be played in Tampa, Florida. It's a totally different gym. You know, it's going to have a total different noise factor. You're not going to be packed houses in there. It's not going to have – I mean, going and playing in Tampa, if you're LSU, is not like going to Barnhill Arena or whatever they're calling that now, at Nolan Richardson Court, and trying to win like they were last night. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be a total different vibe that way. So, I think that you're going to see, teams play better on neutral floors than they have on the road because it's not going to have that kind of hostility. Yet there's some challenges with neutral floor games because some of the venues aren't traditional basketball venues, and that creates a very different look, very different backdrop, and creates some challenges for people as well. So, it's all different. Neutral site games are totally different. Tennessee's certainly been better in neutral site games than they have been on road games this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd heard earlier, we had a guy that sent me a text that said this could be the first time in SEC men's basketball history that three different teams go undefeated at home. Two teams have done it, but if Tennessee wins and Auburn win this weekend, along with Kentucky, which has completed its home season. There would be three undefeated at home. Arkansas at Bud Walton Arena only lost one home game. It's remarkable what those four have done at home this season.
And look at this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rupp Arena's always been a hard place to play, right? I mean, even when Kentucky's, quote, not great, it's a hard place to play. You just talked about it earlier. I mean, how good was that atmosphere at Thompson Bowling Arena against Auburn? That's a hard place for a road team to come in and play. I mean, Thompson Bowling Arena is creating a legitimate home environment that is a real challenge for road teams. And all you got to do is flip on the TV screen and see what that little small gym that they created and built at Auburn in the atmosphere and the electricity that's in there. Those are hard places to play, you know, and throw in Arkansas, who did get upset. But when Auburn came in there and that game last night against LSU, that even though LSU, you know, gave that game away late, I think the crowd had a factor in that. I mean, I think LSU did some kind of goofy things, and I think the crowd deserves some credit for that. Those environments are really, really good because the fan bases have created, you know, really good environments for their really talented teams.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens from Design to Installation. They got you covered. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Our guest, Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen from Design to Installation. They've got you covered. Brent, there's a chance for Tennessee to end up likely, if they can win against Arkansas, being the number two seed in the SEC tournament. Do you think that seeding makes much difference heading into the SEC tournament?
I think it depends on what the rest of that bracket looks like, who's where, you know, in terms of matchups. I mean, whether you're the two or the three, I think it's always when you're in a tournament setting like that, Jimmy, it's about the matchup. And who do you match up better with in your quarterfinal game? And if you could win that in the semifinal game to give you a chance to get to Sunday afternoon. So number-wise, I don't know that it matters as much as it does what does the rest of the bracket look like and who do you match up better with. Would you rather see Auburn in the semifinal or Kentucky in a semifinal with the opportunity to get to the finals on Sunday if you were fortunate enough to be in that semifinal game? Which one of those is a better matchup for you? You know, and I think there's pros and cons to both those teams. I think Kentucky's a better rebounding team, obviously, and they can cause you some problems that way. I don't think Kentucky's is athletic and plays as fast, and they obviously don't have Jabari Smith. On the flip side of that, I don't think Auburn's playing very good defense right now, and I don't think they're playing very good in the paint. So there's some opportunities that way. So I think more than the number, Jimmy, it's about which matchup you like best on your bracket, which side of the bracket you think you're better fit for to try to advance to the championship.
I looked at some ESPN projections. They had four of their basketball experts, including Joe Lenardi, SEC. Of the four, three of them took Kentucky, one of them took Arkansas. Would you favor Kentucky to win the SEC tournament?
Well, they've had such a history of being so good in that tournament, Jimmy, for so many years. They've played well. They seem to have peaked at the right time. They are getting healthier. Can they turn it on? I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is – I think the top is really, really jammed up pretty well. And everybody's doing it a little bit different, right? I mean, there are no two teams really playing kind of the same style. I mean, Tennessee's – you know, really good defensively. Arkansas, super athletic, play a little more spread out. Auburn's decided to lean on Jabari Smith, you know, a little bit more, although in overtime last night their backcourt showed up. So everybody's got a little different style of play. I can see where that Kentucky love is there. I mean, Arkansas's an interesting deal because they've won a bunch of games in a row. They've been great at home. Their schedule hasn't been maybe away from home has not been nearly as difficult. They've not had to play in the hostile places on the road. They didn't have to play at Auburn, I don't think. They didn't have to play at Rupp Arena, I don't believe. They will have to play in Knoxville. I can understand the Kentucky love there. I think there's some I think there's some people really questioning Auburn because Auburn seemed to, and they may turn it on and be great, but Auburn seemed to have played their best basketball 5 or 6 weeks ago at this point. Yeah. Now, they may turn it on and be totally different, Jimmy, but they don't look like the same team that they were when they moved to that number one ranking, and I thought they were really, really, really dynamic offensively. They seem to do some things offensively that kind of scratch your head a little bit from time to time.
Brent, Rick Barnes said recently that he thought that Tennessee was a national championship contender. Tom Crean said that the other night as well. Would you have that opinion about Tennessee?
You know, again, Vince, I mean, I think so much of that is how does the bracket that you're in open up? Mm-hmm. You know, does Tennessee, they play really well defensively. That should carry them on nights where they're not necessarily great offensively. But so much of it's about a matchup. You know, we've seen some teams get to the Final Four that they got there because there were upsets in their bracket that paved the way and opened it up for them. You go back and look at the year Kyle Alexander got hurt, Tennessee loses to Loyola Chicago, you know. I mean, that bracket opened up beautifully for Tennessee if they could have got by Loyola Chicago and made a run there. So it's hard to say. I mean, could Tennessee be one of the four best teams in the country or one of the four teams in the Final Four? I don't think the Final Four always includes the four best teams. But again, it's how does that bracket open up? Who can handle the pressure of it? Who gets hot at the right time? All of those things factor into making a run through, you know, trying to win six games over three weekends and win a national title.
I want to hop back to the open position on the Tennessee football staff. And I'm sure you've discussed this before, but we're getting, you know, farther into it. Do you think that there still is the possibility that Tennessee could hire a running backs coach and move Jerry Mack with his wide receiver experience over to wide receiver? Is that a scenario you still see that could happen?
I would be really surprised if that happened for a couple of reasons. One, I think that if you're Josh Heupel, I mean, is there really somebody that dynamic that you want to move to, you want to cause an adjustment to two of your positions? We've talked a lot about continuity. You've talked a lot about establishing your culture in your room, in your program, and that goes down to your position group in the individual room. Jerry Mack has done a terrific job with the running backs in terms of creating that culture. You know, they're on the start of that journey. Is it worth moving him to receiver and bringing in another running backs coach, or do you feel more comfortable hiring a receivers coach and not upsetting two position groups? And my leaning right now, it would be that Josh Heupel will hire a receivers coach and Jerry Mack will be Tennessee's running backs coach moving forward.
Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar, our guest. Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. And he's on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. Brent, we've got four Tennessee players at the combine. And I'm going to want to get your opinion on this. Which Tennessee player do you think will be taken first in the draft? Will it be Matthew Butler, Cade Mays, Lante Taylor, Velus Jones?
Oh, Jimmy, I mean, it may be Cade Mays because of his diversity, you know, the fact that he can play so many different positions. When you look at the 53-man roster and how many you can have active on a Sunday, if Cade Mays can play multiple spots, he's got more value. I will be curious to see how he tests this week and what the medical is on him coming out of the combine this week. I think that's an important thing with Cade because he's had the ankle problems, you know, for a while. Does everything check out there? I think the guy who can maybe jump up and surprise people the most this weekend and this week is Velus Jones. I think Velus Jones is a good football player, and I think Velus Jones can play special teams both as a returner. He can also play special teams as a defensive guy. I mean, he can play on a lot of special teams unit, which would give him, you know, some added stock, if you will, but because he can do multiple things. And I know it's a different coaching staff, but guys who have taken Tennessee receivers late the last few years, it's paid off for him, right? I mean, Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer, Marquez Callaway, that's all paid off. And Bayless Jones was here with some of those guys as well. So I think Bayless Jones is a guy who can make a move. I like Matthew Butler. I think there's some limitations to Matthew Butler. He kind of is what he is, but he's a snap eater who can play a ton for you, and that's going to help him, his stock. But I think Cade Mays' diversity, and I think the upside to Bayless Jones are the two guys I'm probably watching the most in terms of what people are saying about them coming out of the combine.
Brent, is there anyone else you think that's on the draftable radar for Tennessee besides those four guys at the combine?
I hadn't really thought about it, Vince. I mean, probably Theo, not. I mean, Theo's going to have to run well. He's a very smart, heady player who had a really good year this year. It's disappointing for him that he did not get invited to an all-star game. It wasn't a factor there. I know he got picked up late because somebody got hurt, but wasn't invited to an all-star game, did not get the week to show everybody what he could do. He will have to have some really good pro days and run some really good times to have a chance to get drafted. Again, I think a guy like Justin Coleman helps Theo Jackson, because if you're an NFL team, you know, you're looking at Willie Martinez, you're looking at the fact that he had guys from Central Florida the last couple of years that were drafted. You go back and you look at a guy like Justin Coleman, who didn't have a high draft stock. He's still in the league. He's played well. Could Theo Jackson be that type of guy? Emmanuel Mosley's another guy. I mean, there will be people take a long look at Theo Jackson because he played for Willie Martinez, and he had a great year in his 1 year under Willie Martinez.
What you think about Tennessee getting the final day at SEC Football Media Days, the final group of three on Thursday?
I mean, what they do, put 14 names in a hat and draw those out? I mean, how do they go about? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I mean, I don't know how they go about determining that. I mean, I don't think it's a great place to be in terms of publicity, because I think there's a lot of people by that point in the 3 days that are ready to go to the house. Yep. So you probably don't get as many questions because so many schools have already left. Yeah, and they do go to the house early. So it's probably a little bit of an easier day, probably not as many as much questioning, but you also probably don't get as much exposure in terms of something written about you or getting discussed as much as you would have if you were one of the first guys to go on day one or even the morning of day two.
Maybe Slice Bread will show up and ask Jimbo Fisher some questions.
We can always hope, right? Do we think NIL is going to get discussed at SEC meeting? I mean, what's going to get discussed more? Flops, NILs? I think with the transfer portal's probably already been discussed. But are we going to go with on-field flops or NIL as the two? Anything besides those two, the biggest talking points out of SEC Media Days?
Yeah, football will be a distant trailer to those.
What do you mean playoffs? We're talking NIL. Brent,
I think NIL is going to be high on everybody's talking point list. That's for sure.
No doubt. What can folks look forward to on VolQuest?
Oh, we got plenty of recruiting coverage today. We've got baseball coverage up as well. Of course, big weekend set for them down in Houston at Minute Maid Park. We'll have coverage from that this weekend. Coverage of Tennessee basketball. Then, of course, for all of you fans out there who like recruiting, football recruiting, we'll have full coverage of Tennessee's Junior Day on Saturday. Plus the war room in the morning to give you more names who are expected to be in this weekend. And we'll kind of give you 10 names to get to know who are supposed to be in town on Saturday. So that's coming up tomorrow afternoon as well. A lot of recruiting coverage, basketball and baseball as well. Fun time to check us out right now.
That's the dad of Eli Hubbs, Brent Hubbs. VolQuest.com is appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. Brent, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brent.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
And that's Brent joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light,
April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.